breeze, courting an inflammation of the lungs.
"Ladies, I hesitate to be so bold, but if you're Miss Hannah Cooper and Miss Enid Cooper, I'm Balfour, your escort."
"Mr. Balfour?"
Miss Hannah bobbed a stiff curtsy, one hand braced on the back of the bench.
"Pleased to make your acquaintance."
"Lord Balfour," Miss Cooper held out a hand, "forgive my niece her form of address. We discussed it endlessly on the crossing, but we are weary and forgetful." "And likely chilled," Asher said, bowing over the older women's gloved fingers. "The rest of your bags will be sent on to the townhouse. If I might take you to the coach." The aunt kept her hand in his and rose with his assistance. The young lady merely watched while Asher tucked the aunt's hand over his arm and gave a few instructions to the stevedores. He did not linger over civilities, knowing Miss Hannah's impassivity could mask fatigue, bewilderment, homesickness, and other emotions common to the weary traveller in a strange land. "This way, ladies." At first he thought Miss Hannah was having difficulty walking on land. After days at sea, it could be like that. The ceaseless, nauseating movement became normal, and then concentration was needed to adjust to stillness.
"How was your crossing?"
"Truly, truly unpleasant, my lord," the elder Miss Cooper said. "I dread the return trip already."
She chattered on about the food, the crowding, the rough crew, the cold, the endless stench of the sea, and all manner of discomfort. And occasionally she'd stumble a little, lean on Asher for a moment, then resume both her walking and her complaining. When she at one point turned her face up to his, with the apparent intent of batting her eyes, Uncle Fenimore must truly have taken Asher into dislike. Asher noted that the aunt's pupils were a trifle enlarged.
"Though I must say," she paused for breath as they neared the coach, "it is exceedingly good to hear the Queen's English spoken with the Queen's accent and intonation. It has been 20 years, you know, since such a sound graced my ears. 20 years.
Of course he did not know, nor did he care. Miss Cooper shook her head at the sorrow of it all, and Asher glanced over his shoulder to see how this dirge was striking the niece. The poor girl had doubtless endured an ocean of such woes, for a woman dependent upon the poppy was usually a self-absorbed creature indeed. Miss Hannah's expression was unreadable, and her remarkably ugly brown bonnet had remained on her head, despite the limp ribbons and a brisk breeze. She trundled along unevenly behind them like a servant, but her head was up and her gaze was darting all over the passing scene, like a small child on her first trip to the trading post. A coil of russet hair tried to escape the bonnet's confines near her left ear.
"This is the Balfour coach," Asher said.
He handed in the older woman, then extended a hand to the niece. She glanced around one more time, as if reluctant to part with the scenery. Edinburgh was a lively and beautiful city after all, then darted into the coach after barely touching her fingers to his. He climbed in, predictably tipping the coach with his considerable weight. When the thing righted itself, an earl's coach must be well appointed and well sprung regardless of the expense, Asher thumped the roof with a gloved fist. Miss Enid pulled the shade closed on her coach window, no doubt because her eyes were offended by the Scottish winter sunshine.
"Tell me, my lord, will we pass an apothecary on the way to our accommodations?"
"We shall. Edinburgh has shops aplenty, including apothecaries, though the townhouse is quite commodious. If you need a common medicinal, we likely have it on hand."
"I have the very worst head. Didn't I tell you, Hannah? My head would plague me terribly. A touch of the poppy might provide a little ease."
"I'm sure we can accommodate you."
As much as old Fenimore grumbled about aches and pains, there was bound to be an entire pantry of nostrums and patent remedies somewhere in the house Fenimore had used as freely as if he owned it.
"What about you, Miss Hannah? Has your health suffered as a result of a winter crossing?"
She was peering out the window and trying not to get caught at it. Asher didn't smile, but something of his amusement must have shown in his eyes, because she shifted her gaze to meet his, like a cannon swivelling to sight on an approaching target.
"I am in good health, thank you."
The tones were clipped, the vowels flattened.